Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris down in Sarasota taking care of some business. What's up, Jeremy?
I was texting with him last night. What's up? He was saying it's much, much more awful than you could possibly imagine what's going on down there. Still no power. And that's probably the least of everyone's problems right now.
I saw this article, CBSSports.com, NFL-centric. I think we could talk about it because it's not a segment for today. It's talking about nine teams that are time to panic for nine teams in the National Football League. The category, nearing siren level. Cowboys.
Yep.
Saints.
Yep.
Titans.
Yep.
I think the Titans already hit the siren.
I mean, they got it.
Jaguars.
You can't play Will Levis anymore. He sucks. Jaguars, yeah.
Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Jets. Now, this category is hand hovering over the alarm. Eagles, Commanders, Seahawks. I don't see the Commanders in that category.
No, I think it's just an easy way to put another team in there saying, oh, look, they faced a good team and they lost. With all things considered, and even though I feel like the Ravens dominated that game and the score doesn't look like they did, I came away more impressed with the Commanders than I did going in because it seems like things are starting to, he's starting to figure things out.
More impressed with Daniels or more impressed with the team?
No, not the team but I mean,
So I agree with Mike Preston. You take Daniels off that field.
Oh, they're beat them by three touchdowns.
Yeah. So maybe that's why their hand is hovering over the alarm. Maybe that's why. I mean, I wouldn't personally put them in that category. See what it says. Jaden Daniels in the offense under Cliff Kingsbury has been a revolution. Washington Kelly on Daniels continues. Oh, they're saying, if you count on him to continue his superhuman run through the NFL, but it's probably not going to happen. They have other concerns.
Well, their defense is just horrendous.
Yeah, that's what
it's awful.
About. Yeah.
And again, we're coming up this week, and I saw somebody write that they thought that the Bucs matched up well with the Ravens. I got news for you guys: nobody matches up well with them. With what they're doing right now, if they're in 12, 21, or 22 personnel, good luck, because it's an absolute cheat code with what you have in the backfield. We've been saying this. What's it going to be like with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson?
The former Commander was talking about that on the podcast that Joe sent us last night. How it was, it's the level of the, who said that? Was it you or Jeremy?
I was high. I don't remember.
It's Jeremy, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I'd probably
just thumb stuffed it.
Yeah. Hey, all right.
Yeah. Now, okay, Jeremy, you sent an article. Where a former commander, what commander was it?
The tight end? Logan Paulson.
Logan Paulson said, you sent this.
Yeah.
Said that Lamar Jackson's command on the field was sort of like Peyton Manning.
Reading defenses.
Yes. Peyton Manning and
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. He said it was on that level. So you're talking about the athleticism, the play calling, and remember, I commented on when he got him out of the play into the touchdown run. He got him out of one play into another play. And this is why I questioned for years, why is Greg Roman having him in a huddle until the last 7 seconds? Are you saying this man can't read defenses? Are you saying that he can't get you out of plays? Well, why does Todd Monken get him out of the huddle with 20 seconds left and Lamar can sit there and pick apart a defense before he even snaps the ball?
Well, that's why, like I told you. So Ken McCusick wrote something. I retweeted it. You can go to J-Con Sports if you want to read it.
Are you sure you did?
Yes.
You remember?
I did this morning, so there's nothing in my system that I remember. But the point is, if you start talking about offensive efficiency in this league, the Ravens are off the charts good. And I showed Rob just the graph. I said, you don't even need to know what this graph is. There's an outlier on the graph. It's all the way up in the right-hand corner, and it's the Baltimore Ravens. And, you know, the other part of this that's really impressive is that when you look in the fourth quarter, when they know you're running the ball because you have a lead, Derrick Henry has been even better. They still can't stop it. It's like, oh, you guys are going to run the ball? Guess what we're going to do? We're going to let you. You can pick up that first down, and you're going to need the game out. That's what's just going to happen. And that's why it's surprising that it didn't happen against the Raiders.
Joe, that conversation about the article that was sent out last night reminds me of a conversation that Ricky Henderson had with John Olerud. Rick Henderson said to Olerud, hey, you wear that helmet on the field in the field all the time? So, yeah. I played with a guy in Toronto that did that.
Well, this is
he
the
said,
thing.
Well, this is me. That was me, Ricky. No. This is some white dude. Better left at it. John Olerud said, Ricky, that was me. No, it wasn't. It was some guy.
Well, the thing about that is that conversation, that didn't happen. So that doesn't work because Jeremy actually did do this. That whole conversation I learned is an urban legend.
A lot of things about the Ricky Henderson.
I believe that for years. And then I listened more about Ricky Henderson. And I was like, no, that was just, you could just make it up because it's like making up things that Yogi Berra said.
I love when he broke the stolen base record. He just lifted up the base above his head and said, I am the greatest.
Now that happened. That is recorded.
There was one with Ricky, I think, in San Diego where he got on the team bus with Steve. Was it Steve Garvey?
Steve Finley.
Was it Finley? And he's like, hey, where do we sit? And Steve Finley's like, oh, we got tenure here. You can sit wherever you want. And he goes, oh, no. Ricky signed a 3-year deal, not a 10-year deal. And it's like, what?
When he got the... He got the four, like the new Thunderbird when he was with the Red Sox, and he was like, "Whose car is that?" And he was like, "That's yours, Ricky." He's, "I'm not riding in that," and he gave it to his kid.
Well, you do know he got $1 million bonus from the Oakland A's 1 year, $1 million,
really,
a check. Oakland A's several years later said, "Ricky, what happened to that check? Oh, I framed it." He never cashed $1 million. You know that one, Joe?
Yeah, there is.
That's truth. He never cashed the check.
And they were just like, wait, bonus. Why is there a huge gap in this when they did the accounting and they couldn't understand where $1 million went?
Yeah, like, you don't misplace $1 million.
That's
so
great.
They tracked it down. We wrote Ricky Henderson a check for $1 million. It's a bonus. Yes. Ricky, where's the check? I framed it. Ricky? We're going to give you a fake check. The frame. Cash the check.
There's just so many great Ricky Henderson stories. Like I feel like we could sit here, do two segments on it, and then take phone calls for two more segments of ones we didn't even realize happened.
But Joe's right. Ricky Henderson's stories are like Yogi Berra stories. Did Yogi really say those things? Or did he say so many off-the-cuff comments that you could just make them up? And say, yeah, Yogi Berra said that. That's the same way with Ricky Henderson. Did he really do that? Or because Ricky was so out of left field, no pun intended, you could just make up anything.
Here was the quote when he broke the record. Lou Brock was a great base stealer, but today, I am the greatest.
And I don't think he invited, didn't they invite Lou Brock to that game, though?
They do that
and
a lot.
And he said that, like, in front of him.
Yeah. And if Ricky was here, he'd say, what's wrong with that? You gotta love him, man. Zero self-awareness.
Ricky don't like him when Ricky can't find Ricky's limo.
Reactions to what former Commanders tight end Logan Paulson said about Lamar. We'll do that at 6:45. That gives Jeremy about 35 minutes to remember what he sent us. But on the other side, we're talking baseball, NLCS, Mets, Dodgers up next on The Fan.
Shohei 16 for his last 19 with runners in scoring position. That's where Smith is on second. The pitch is hit high in the air, right field, hooking toward the pole, and this ball is fair and gone. Shohei Ohtani unloads A three-run home run here in the top of the eighth inning. His second of the postseason makes it 7-0 L.A.
That's Dodgers Radio Network. As Shohei Ohtani hits the, three-run home run?
Bang, bang.
Bang, bang. There was nothing. Next thing you looked up, it was a blowout. Like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, it went from 2-0 to 4-0, and then, of course, Ohtani kind of separates everything with that blast. And kind of nice to see that for him, because the one thing about watching playoff baseball when your team's not in it, I want to watch superstars. I want to see what some of the best, or at least who's supposed to be, what they're doing in these big moments. And it's kind of cool to see that last night from him.
I'm hating.
Yeah?
Yeah. Two teams with $300 million payrolls and another one with $250 million payroll.
I'm hating. Yeah, I get it, but I want this to keep happening, because anytime Tampa Bay gets near it, it's like, see? See, you guys don't. But look, this is two teams that had buys that are two of the highest payrolls in all of baseball. And then we have another team. The other team had a buy, too, in Cleveland. And then the one team, the Mets, have been playing playoff games since freaking May. So,
I get what you're saying. But if baseball was even a level playing field financially, then you're right. I want the team spending more money winning it all, because other teams are just being cheap for no reasons. The Pirates aren't being cheap for no reason. The Rays aren't being cheap for no reason. The Orioles, they're not being cheap for no reason. They're being cheap for a reason, because it's just not even. You look at the markets. The highest payroll. Let me give you the top 10 payrolls in the market. Two New York teams, that's market number one. L.A., which I believe is market number two. Philly, top five market. Houston, the Rangers, Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto, all of Canada. Atlanta, Chicago, San Francisco. It's not an accident.
Yeah, they're all big markets.
They're all big markets. You know, now, you know, the Giants own the Bay Area, so Oakland's not going to get anything of that.
And Oakland doesn't spend any money anyway, so it doesn't matter.
It is odd that the Red Sox are out of the top 10.
Well, but this is almost by design, though, right?
Because, for the Red Sox, yeah.
Because they're rebuilding.
Yeah. They're rebuilding to the tune of a payroll of $176 million. That's their rebuild.
Yeah.
Almost $200 million.
I mean, some of their vets are going to, their contracts are going to be coming up. They've got very young. Their farm system has a few more pieces in it. And it'd just be interesting to see what happens with the Red Sox over the next couple of years. But to your point, the only reason I bring this up is, like, I just get frustrated with anytime Tampa or a Kansas City or another smaller market team makes a run and people go, see, you don't have to have it. And I'm going, I get it. But for every one of those you give me, I can give you three teams that are the highest paid teams in the league, and they're going to be right there with them.
This Final Four is an example. Four teams. Three of them, major markets, big time payroll, one Cleveland not. And they're the ones that are being overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
They look like they don't belong with the other big boys.
They don't have enough starting pitching to compete with these other teams.
Speaking of starting pitching across the board, the Dodgers have been money. What is that, four shutouts now?
Yeah.
The playoffs, three or four?
Well, they broke the record of consecutive shutout innings. And then Lindor stops that with the leadoff
home
run.
They tied it. Yeah. Don't take that from the Orioles, man. Yeah. We got to hold on to that one.
My bad. They tied it.
And Lindor said, you know, I'm an Oriole fan deep down inside.
Yeah.
So I'm hit this leadoff
bang,
home
bang.
Run.
Bang, bang. Screw that.
But is that your thing this morning?
What?
That's the third bang, bang this
bang,
morning.
Bang, bang.
It's four.
Are you sure I've done that
Mick
much?
Mick Foley, yes. Yes.
Yeah. At least twice.
Shut up, Joe. Bang, bang. I can go boom, boom.
Five.
It's not. But the Mets is overmatched by Dodgers pitching two of the three games.
Yeah. And again, last night, Walker Buehler.
Buehler.
Not like he hasn't been a good pitcher, but anytime you can, the thing I loved about it, the wind's blowing in, right? So you got 12 miles an hour. So what did Walker Buehler do?
Buehler.
It's not likely that they hit a home run off me. So I'm just going to challenge him and throw it in the strike zone.
Right.
And I'm not going to walk guys. I'm not going to nibble. And he got some strikeouts, which he's not a big strikeout pitcher. But just a guy that has solid stuff, gets ground balls, and used to be a guy that went deep into games. Now, coming back from injury, he's not quite that guy, and we'll see if he gets back to it.
But. And in the playoffs, we're not testing him to be that kind of guy. You just do what you got to do. Sit your ass down. Let the bullpen take care of the rest.
What also?
And last night, what did he go last night? Four innings, giving up no runs on three hits, six strikeouts, two walks.
But you see, like they realize, like, hey, if we put him back out there for one more go round, we're playing with fire, because now they're seeing him a third time around. And we don't want that.
A scoreless game. Mm-hmm. So you don't want, you know, if you have a lead, you got a 4 or 5 run lead, you might throw him back out there. But then again, playoffs, you might not, because you don't want to start the fire.
Yeah, you don't want to be the guy saying, why'd you leave him in too long? Because I think if you pull a guy like Walker Buehler, and if you're looking at his track record, not over his career, but recently, you'd go, okay, I get it. The same thing with, is Matt Boyd going today for the Guardians? I didn't see if they released their starting pitcher yet, because I know it's Clark Schmidt for the Yankees. But Matt Boyd's a guy that they're going to throw out there for if he's rolling, he might get 4 innings, but more than likely, you're probably going to get, you know, 3 innings from him. If he gets knocked around, they go right to the bullpen.
It's Matt Boyd today.
Yeah. So
this is his first appearance, isn't it?
No. He's been in a bunch of games so far. Remember, he was the guy that went toe-to-toe with Tarik Skubal.
First start?
No. He started, this is his, technically his third start. He started Game 1 and Game 5 for the Guardians against the Tigers. Because remember, in the first one, it was an afternoon game. He was throwing crazy chains ups, and they were striking out left and right.
I'm asking because he hadn't given up any runs.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pitched 6 2/3 innings.
So, and this is his third start, and he's only pitched 6 2/3.
Yeah, no runs on 5 hits.
Yeah. He's been pretty good. And again,
10 strikeouts.
Matt Boyd was probably the best Tigers pitcher when they were going through this whole rebuild and everything.
And then
he got hurt. And then we found out who Tarik Skubal was, and it's like, oh, maybe we want to take a peek at this guy.
What do you think about this Yamamoto-Quintana matchup tonight? Quintana, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so the one thing I'd say about that in particular is Yamamoto, if he's on, it's going to be tough, but this Mets team has just been so scrappy that it wouldn't shock me to see them get after it. The one thing I love about Jose Quintana, I don't know how long he's going to pitch. He's been doing this for what feels like 15 or 16 years now, doesn't throw extremely hard, gets some soft contact ground balls, every once in a while get some strikeouts, but he really does limit damage. And I feel like if the wind is blowing in again, he has a chance to have a great performance tonight.
His first game against San Diego, he wasn't very good. 3 innings, 5 runs. Second game against San Diego, a week later, he was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
5 innings, no runs. No more Yamamoto. So we'll see what Yamamoto steps up tonight.
And it's weird because, remember, his first start was against the Padres and they beat his ass over in Korea.
Right.
And then he comes back, faces them the second time, and just stifles them. Lights out. Not touching him, nothing. And that's why I'm not like, I think he's a really good pitcher. I just need to see more. He got hurt and we didn't get to see him over the long haul.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Coming out, Shovels at 7:15. Logan Paulson has some great things to say about Lamar Jackson. We'll discuss that at 6:45. But on the other side, 2 high-powered offenses meeting on Monday Night Football. Any worry about the Bucs offense? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, we've said this before. The Ravens getting ready to take on one of the top scoring offenses in all the National Football League. But one thing we know for sure, Jeremy, all records aren't created equal. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 4-2. Now, they scored 37 points against the Commanders. First game of the season. They beat the Lions, but they scored 20 points to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Broncos held them to 7. They scored 33 on the Eagles. Good job. Scored 30 on the Falcons. Loss. And this past week, they dropped 51 on the Saints. All 4-2s aren't created equal. I respect what they're doing. I love what Baker Mayfield does. I love a comeback story. Baker Mayfield was never as good as people thought he was, but he damn sure wasn't as bad as people thought he was.
Yeah.
He is who he is right now. He is, this is who he is. And it's pretty good. Passer rating of actually 109.4. Completed 71% of his passes. He has 15 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. But he's been sacked 17 times. Baker Mayfield's having a great year. But all 4-2s aren't created equal.
No, it's... And again, I'm looking at, you know, so you get Monday night and the Ravens are, what, a 3.5 point favorite on the road. Before this 51-point drop on the Saints, people were talking about, damn, Tampa Bay's defense has looked very poor.
Yeah.
Seeing what Atlanta did to them, moving up and down the field. Again, short week, Thursday night. And I think there's got to be a big emphasis because Chris Godwin's been the guy that's kind of been making that offense go as their possession guy. Moving the chains, converting third downs. Uh-huh. And I still think even with Mike Evans being the big play guy, that's the guy you got to be worried about on offense. Their running game, which anytime the Ravens are playing a team, you're probably not worried about the running game,
Has
transitioned a little bit as Bucky Irving's getting a few more touches, the kid out of Oregon. So we'll see. We'll see what their offense looks like. I do think they have some weapons there. But again, I feel like this Ravens offense is going to do what they've done against smaller fronts and just run the football down their throat.
I think so, too. I think this is going to be an absolutely outstanding football game. And you talked about that 51-point drubbing. If you look at this, yards, the Baltimore Ravens are ranked first. Tampa Bay Buccaneers ranked ninth. Points per game, Tampa Bay Buccaneers ranked second. Baltimore Ravens ranked fourth. But there's that huge outlier of 51 points a game, which brings them up considerably. You know, talk about the difference of points scored. The Ravens have scored 177 points. The Buccaneers, I'm giving you the rankings, okay? The rankings of 2 and 4th. But you know what the real difference is?
What?
The Buccaneers have scored 178 points this year. The Ravens have scored 177 points. They scored one fewer point all year.
I think you have to look at who they've played, too. And I'm
all 4-2 records aren't created equal.
When I'm talking about the schedule, I'm never demeaning the team that beat these teams because you're doing what you're supposed to. But as Rob pointed out, and I think it's absolutely true, is that they're not all created equally. We all didn't play the same teams.
Yeah.
You know, so if you played the Super Bowl champs, you went to Dallas and played them at their stadium, which I don't know how good people think Dallas is now. You know, and then, of course, you had to hiccup against the Raiders. You faced Cincy, who we thought was going to be better, and they weren't. And then this past week, you had the Bills. All these games where Washington comes in, it's like, oh, my God, this new kid is going to light your guys' asses up. And he was good, but it's still not what happened. When I look at Tampa Bay, the best defense they've played so far has been the Denver Broncos, and they shut them down at home.
Yeah. Yeah. 410-583-1057 is the number. Do you think this is going to be a slugfest offensively? Going at it.
I mean, it's hard.
High-scoring slugfest.
It's hard to say no because of what we've seen.
Because I can say slugfest, low scoring.
Yeah. It's hard to say that just because of, you know, what we're going to see or what we have seen from these two teams, especially the Ravens defense. So, like, I have a difficult time saying that I don't see points here because you'd fully expect it with the way these two teams have moved. The total is 49.5. Do I think it goes over that? No, but
you
I
don't.
Still, no, I don't.
I don't think both teams can score 25 points.
Well, they should, but here's how I always look at these things: with 72% of the public being on the over. No, I don't. It's Vegas doesn't give away free stuff, and they just had their worst weekend ever. With the public winning so much money this week. And I always look at these things, and some people are probably going, oh, what does that have to do with any? Trust me. I mean, I've been doing this long enough to watch and see. It's not always what you think it is from week to week. And again, the Ravens being a team that can score a ton, It matters if they're getting sevens or threes because they eat up a lot of clock with their drives. And if it winds up in being a punt or a field goal, you're not putting up the same type of points.
410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Baltimore and get Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Doing good. Well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm kind of concerned about our defense, you know, as far as, I know we're going to be able to score in Tampa Bay, but my worry is about our defense, you know, the secondary and all that. And then Daniels, he was just making precision passes, so we didn't really get lit up. you know, Sunday. But I'm more concerned about our defense. I think we can win this game, but I am a little suspect about our defense. And, Rob, one quick thing, because I know y'all got to go. Is Will Smith of the Dodgers a slap hitter?
A slap hitter?
It's the pun, Will Smith, slap.
Oh, you know what? It's early, man. My apologies. I'm laughing on the inside. It was very well played. A slap hitter.
Jeremy was about to go all baseball on us. All numbers. Slap hitter. Will Smith's numbers against the algorithm says.
Do you see his exit velo? Slap hitter my ass.
Oh. You can't say that.
Oh.
Hey, Joe, edit that. He said slap his ass.
No, I said slap hitter.
We can say something else. You didn't get the pun?
Not really? No, I wasn't.
Is Will Smith a slap hitter? Then he chuckled afterwards.
I know, so I'm trying to process it. Slap hitter. What happened in last night's game? Did he go for four? No, I thought he knocked in a run. Right? He did have a hit. I'm going. The hell is he talking? Oh, slap. Gotcha.
Oh boy, I think the total goes over for the Ravens Buccaneers. I think it does. I'm part of the 70% of the public.
And look, like it's a,
it's this simple. You're asking these two offenses, one scores 29.7 points a game. The other scores 29.5 points a game. You're asking them to just do what they do. Don't do anything different. Just do what you do, and this thing goes close to 60. I think it goes over 50. Matter of fact, I'm putting a hundo on it right now.
I'll book that.
I'm putting a hundo on it.
All right. That's all right. You'll be buying all these tickets for these people this week when the Dodgers
get it. I'm doing it for the FanDuel. I'm not giving. You crazy?
I ain't giving you any vig. You ain't got to worry about that 10% they're trying to take. I don't want your 10%. I want the rest of it. I want the 100. I don't want your $10. You keep that.
That's why I'm putting it down on it now. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Is Baker Mayfield a quarterback on the schedule that you fear?
Is Baker Mayfield
He's completed 71% of his passes with just under 1,500 yards, 15 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, a passer rating of 109.4. Do you fear him?
I don't fear him. I respect him more than maybe some fans do because of what happened in Cleveland. Because if you're watching him, he makes plays with his feet. He extends plays so he can get the ball downfield. He's got weapons on offense. Whether you want to look at the three backs that they use, two primarily, but... you got to see more on Sunday. What was it? The kid from Calvert Hall, as he got in there a few times. Right. So, but Kate Otten's been a fine tight end. But when you have that dual threat at wide receiver with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, there's a case to be made that both could be number ones on any team. But you got your big play guy, you got your possession guy, and I think it's perfect.
Yeah, over the next five games, including Tampa, the Ravens then face Cleveland, Denver, Cincy, Pittsburgh. I argue that other than Cincinnati, this is the best quarterback they're going to face over the next five games.
I'm not arguing that. Bo Nix stinks. The Browns. I was looking at Deshaun Watson's numbers yesterday going, how is this the same guy? How is this guy? Like, anybody else in the league plays like he's playing, they're cut. They're cut.
Because anybody else plays in the league like he's playing, they don't have the contract that he has.
Well, that's the deal. And
but honestly, the next five games, this is other than Cincinnati, the best quarterback they're going to face. And then after that, you have the Chargers, Philadelphia. You'll face two really good quarterbacks there, two guys who put up MVP numbers. But then you close out with the Giants, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Houston, and Cleveland. So you finish the last four games of the season with one quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to consider Danny Dimes is spin the wheel. What does it land on? We're going to have a good game this week. That's Danny Dimes. You never know what you're going to get.
Well,
he's the box of chocolates.
No, but you do know what you're going to get. If is that game at home or is it in Baltimore or in New York?
No, it's home.
Oh, well, see, I was going to say, because if he's playing in New York, you know he's not throwing a touchdown.
When you said home, I thought you meant home for them.
That's why I tried to clarify. But if he's in New York, he's not throwing a touchdown pass to one of his wide receivers. He's just not.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Pittsburgh, for some reason, might have quarterback controversy coming up. We'll talk about that at 7 o'clock. But on the other side, reactions to what former Commanders tight end Logan Paulson had to say about Lamar's call at the line. All of them. He loved them. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
biggest idiots deserve the big bad shovel of wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota.
And their exclusive benefits, including free service maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles. Visit Jerry's Toyota just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road and online at jerrystoyota.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Coming up at 7 o'clock, Logan Paulson, what he had to say about Lamar Jackson. But right now, Jeremy Kahn, we're giving out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057, The Fan. Jeremy Kahn, who gets your shovel today?
I'm going to give my shovel to me. I was telling you this earlier. This is just full disclosure. I go see the... you know, my grandfather at the facility there. And I don't know. Like, I start talking to other people.
Right.
You know, because there's a lot of people there. I don't know how people don't go visit their family. I don't know if they did something to them back in the day or whatever.
Doesn't matter.
You see a lot of weird things. There's a lot of interesting smells and things that go on. But I'm sitting there talking to my grandfather yesterday, and he's telling me a story. And he goes, yeah, Darlene's son came up and visited me on Saturday. And I went, I'm Darlene's son.
Yeah.
And it's time. Yeah. And like I said, I'm giving myself the shovel because I knew this was coming, but it's still one of those things. It's the first thing I said to you when I came in this morning because I figured you might understand a little bit more. You know, and obviously we were both going through the same thing with family members. And it's just weird when you hear that because no matter how many times you go, eventually we get to this point with dementia where it's like, hey, I'm not going to remember you.
Right.
So. Me going in there, and again, like, part of the reason why I'm giving myself the shovel is it's really tough in those moments to realize, do I correct them or do I let it keep going? So when my grandfather starts telling stories and they're factually incorrect, like, he told me he helped them put the Key Bridge back up and it's back up and running. He's in a wheelchair. Could never have happened, but it's, you look at those stories.
You don't know, Jeremy.
That's probably true. I drove down there. It was still missing. But no, like, I have a lot of
the blank, yeah.
I have a lot of fun with them, and I bust chops and try to get all the people there laughing. But it's really a sad place, man. Just a sad, sad place.
My shovel goes to fans who have to have a reality check. Folks, let me explain something to you. Players' lives don't end when the television goes off. Players' lives don't only play out in social media. Just because you don't know about it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. I think people honestly have gotten so television and social media centric, Jeremy, that they believe life only happens there on TV and on social media.
Yeah.
It doesn't. These guys are people. You know what I mean? Just because you don't know about it doesn't mean it didn't. Well, I heard on social media or on television he said this. That is giving you what you want to see, what they want you to see. That's not real life.
No.
It's not. It's only a small fraction of their lives. Very small. It's a lot bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
And stop treating these guys like they're just TV figures. They're like real people. Men and women. They're real people. And you hear all the conversation about them, all the things they're saying about them on social media. It's ugly. And you got some of these guys who have kids who are on social media and they're reading this about their families. I just think it's we don't care anymore. Yeah, we just don't care anymore at all about what's said and what's done in front of people when you go to social media.
Oh,
your whole life comes to a certain amount of characters on Twitter.
There's so many people that are talking about they're trying to take away free speech and you know, ban Twitter, ban X. That's what's going on in Brazil and some of the other things that go on. Problem is if you have a platform like that and you're spreading disinformation,
yeah,
then it turns into propaganda.
Yes.
And you have like. There's a big issue, and it's not just that type of stuff where people are posting fake stories and there's all these bots that you think are real people and they're not. It's just simply when you're going on there, how is it a place you can go and somebody can drop an N-bomb and nothing's going to happen?
Nothing.
You know, they can call you whatever you want, but all of a sudden you post something that they deem that you shouldn't. You get fact-checked, you get whatever, and then it gets taken down. Or you get your... See, the other problem with this, too, is with social media is that Elon Musk can very much so make it to where people are going to see whatever you're writing. It's going to be limited. You know, so like there's all kinds of things that can go on with social media, but it's just an ugly cesspool. And I mean this when I say it, Rob, I wouldn't be on there if I didn't need it for this job.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. You look at the things that I post. Things that I post are very things that could become public. I want to be public. I don't give you anything other than what I want you to have.
I mean, there's just a lot of cowards out there, too. People that hide behind all these different things that are going on. It is interesting, though. The one thing that people unified on is that everybody thought that Jack Callis kid was a jackass.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like the cop in Minnesota.
Yeah.
No one thought he was justified. I mean, some things happen. It can really bring the community together. You realize, okay, we do. There's still a line that none of us are willing to cross. And what this guy did downtown after the Ravens game is a line that no one wants to cross.
I told you, I don't mind saying this on the air. So after we had that conversation on Monday, I get a phone call from a friend running to somebody at LifeMed that had talked to this person saying, you do realize you've been over that kid's dad's house. And I went, what? They took me. I met his parents. Great people. Kid, I can't say much about, you know, but like, and I'm going, oh, damn, I didn't know that. I didn't know who's like whatever, but I had met them. Maybe I probably met him, too. I don't know.
Probably did. I want to meet him.
Not everybody wants to meet him now.
I want to meet him. Can you introduce me to him?
I don't know him like that. But I don't know what the fallout of this stuff, too.
He's a boss.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is. Big time. I mean, and to say that those other guys started the fight.
Come on.
No. You don't strike me as the type of guy that's going to walk away and come back.
Let me ask you.
You strike me as the type of guy that if they started it then, how did you walk away, load up the camera, and then come back? Come on, dude.
Joe, have you gone to an away game wearing Ravens gear or an away game wearing Orioles gear?
Yeah, the Steelers game.
Baseball's a little bit different. Football, though, I feel like when your team lose, unless you're looking for attention and you're trying to do something, those guys are quiet. They just want to get back to their car. You have nothing to say. You can't talk trash to them. Your team just lost, and you're outnumbered by I came out of ironically enough a Washington game when I'm big time Colts fan with Peyton Manning. We went down to DC. There's a guy in my section that's just talking smack the entire time. We leave, and I get surrounded by like 25 people. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? I'm here with my ex-wife, one of my buddies, and they looks like they want to jump us. And I'm going, what the hell's that? It's one of the first times in my life I really had to swallow my pride.
Right.
Realizing that, first off, I'm not winning anything in that moment. And more than likely, I'm probably getting some other people's asses beat. But we didn't do anything wrong. We were just leaving the stadium. Like, when I go to a game, that's why a lot of times if you see me at a game, I wouldn't even be wearing opposing team's colors if I was a fan of another team. Because I don't need any hassle. That's why I stay home most of the time and watch those games.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Former Commanders tight end Logan Paulson had a lot to say about Lamar Jackson's calls at the line of scrimmage. We'll take a look next right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.